Continuing our study this morning of the book of Jeremiah, we're in Jeremiah chapter 23. I ask that you would turn there in your Bibles, page 650 if you're using the Pew Bibles. We're going to read Jeremiah 23 verses 9 through 40. Concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine, because of the Lord and because of His holy words. For the land is full of adulterers. Because of the curse, the land mourns, and the pastures of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil, and their might is not right. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. Even in my house I have found their evil, declares the Lord. Therefore, their way shall be to them like slippery paths in the darkness, into which they shall be driven and fall. For I will bring disaster upon them in the year of their punishment, declares the Lord. In the prophets of Samaria, I saw an unsavory thing. They prophesied by Baal, and led my people Israel astray. But in the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil. All of them have become like Sodom to me, and its inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to all those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster will come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest, and it will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. And they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Could a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak it faithfully. What is straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness when I did not send them or charge them. So they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. When one of this people or a prophet or a priest asks you, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say to them, you are the burden, and I will cast you off, declares the Lord. And as for the prophet, priest, or the one of the people who says, the burden of the Lord, I will punish that man and his household. Thus shall you say, everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what has the Lord answered? Or what has the Lord spoken? But the burden of the Lord you shall mention no more. For the burden is every man's own word. And you pervert the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, your God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, what has the Lord answered you? Or what has the Lord spoken? But if you say, the burden of the Lord, thus says the Lord, because you have said these words, the burden of the Lord, when I have sent you saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord, therefore, behold, I will surely lift you up and cast you away from my presence, you and the city that I gave to you and your fathers, and I will bring upon you everlasting reproach and perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. Thus ends the reading of God's holy, inspired word. May He bless it to our hearts and minds. Congregation of Christ, in our generation, there's been for some time a disagreement among believers in Christ about the place prophecy is to play in the lives of everyday Christians. There are some Christians who claim the ability to speak a word of the Lord directly to you and to your situation. They claim to possess a gift from the Holy Spirit to make such utterances. Often they call such proclamations a word of knowledge or simply a word from the Lord. And their messages may be general or specific. They may tell you that the Lord will bring peace and blessing to you and your family. That would be a general kind of message. But sometimes they may be more specific. They may tell you that the Lord has declared healing for your back pain. They may tell you that you have a hidden sin in your life about which the Lord is going to deal with you by means of bringing certain judgments on you. They may say that in the space of a year, a childless couple will have children, or that an unemployed person will find a new job within 3 months. Maybe you've come across such Christians. What are we to make of their pronouncements? Do they speak for God? Well, the situation that I've just described isn't that far removed from what was going on in Jeremiah's day. In Jeremiah's time, there were many who claimed to have the gift of prophecy and who were proclaiming, thus says the Lord. Our passage this morning can help us evaluate the claims of those who purport to speak a word of knowledge from the Lord. There are many similarities to what was going on in Jeremiah's time and what's going on in our own day. Well, the theme of our passage this morning is about prophecy and prophets. Last Sunday, we saw how the civil leaders in Judah, the kings, led Judah down a path towards judgment. But the kings weren't the only source of unrighteousness in Judah. Verse 15 says, for from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. What is a prophet? I think if you did a random survey of people, the most common answer you'd receive is that a prophet is someone who predicts the future. And it's true. Prophets often do make predictions about the future. But so do the people on the Weather Channel. So do many investment advisors. So do fortune tellers and fortune cookies, for that matter. Actually, the definition of a prophet is more basic than that. A prophet is someone who speaks for someone else. You might remember in the Old Testament, when God commanded Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go, Moses protested that he didn't speak well enough to do the job. And so God countered Moses' objection by making Aaron Moses' prophet. Listen to Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land." At its most basic level of meaning, a prophet is simply a spokesman for another person. But most of the time, when we use the word prophet in the Bible, we're talking about a person who speaks for God. Now, the things that a prophet says can be about the future. They often are. But prophets speak things past, present, and future. Because of your sins in the past, God is angry with you in the present, and he will judge you in the future. Those are the kind of things prophets often said. And in ancient Israel, there was this whole group of men who were known as the prophets. Jeremiah says, or rather God says through Jeremiah, "Concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine. Because of the Lord and because of his holy words, the land is full of adulterers. Because of the curse, the land mourns, and the pastures of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil. Their might is not right. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. Even in my house I have found evil, declares the Lord." Unrighteousness prevailed in Judah, largely because of the prophets. Because of what they said and how they conducted themselves. And God said that he would bring judgment on the prophets. In verse 14, God says that he saw the prophets commit adultery and walk in lies. Physical adultery might have been part of it, but it's likely that the Lord was speaking about spiritual adultery as well. Adultery by following other gods. Through the prophets and what they were saying, the people were finding encouragement to serve other gods. And verse 14 goes on, "They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his evil." Jeremiah had been proclaiming the word of the Lord, "Repent or the Lord will bring destruction on this city." But the prophets of the day were preaching, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. They were saying, "We have the temple of the Lord. No harm will come to us." That's one of the ways the hands of evildoers were strengthened. The prophets of Jerusalem were undercutting the message of repentance which God had sent Jeremiah to declare. The prophets of Samaria in the northern kingdom had prophesied by Baal. They prophesied in the name of a false god. That's what made their prophecies false. And so God had destroyed Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom. But the prophets of Jerusalem turned people away from repentance and strengthened the hands of evildoers, as verse 16 says, by filling people with vain hopes, speaking visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 17 goes on. They continually say to those who despise the word of the Lord, "It will be well with you." And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, "No disaster will fall upon you." The characteristic of the false prophets of Judah was that they spoke visions of their own minds. In verse 25, these prophets are characterized as saying, I've dreamed. Their messages come from their own dreams, visions from their own minds, but they don't come from the Lord. In fact, verse 17 says, they despise the word of the Lord. False prophets run with their message when God has not sent them. Verse 21, I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. In fact, the false prophets were always checking around to see what the other false prophets were saying so they could copy them. Look at verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Oh, they were always prophesying in the name of the Lord. Verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares the Lord. They're always saying, this is what the Lord says. But what they say is false. So how is a true prophet different from a prophet who simply speaks from his own imagination or dreams? Well, verses 18 and 22 give you the answer. Verse 18, for who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word, or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way, from the evil of their deeds. A true prophet is one who stands in the counsel of the Lord and who hears the words of the Lord and declares them precisely as they've been spoken. Now that word in verse 18 and in verse 22 is counsel. It's not counsel, meaning advice. It's counsil, meaning the assembly of the Lord in the court of heaven. That's where a true prophet gets his message from. And we have a really good illustration of this from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. And you might just want to turn there in your Bibles right now. 1 Kings 22, page 304 in your pew Bibles. It's the account of the prophet Micaiah, son of Imlah. Micaiah lived in the days of King Ahab of Israel and in the days of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. 1 Kings 22. You see, Ahab wanted to reclaim the city of Ramoth-Gilead from the Syrians. And so he asked Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, to help him. But being a righteous king, while Ahab was not, Ahab married Jezebel, who was a foreigner and worshipped Baal, and Ahab helped her promote Baal worship in the northern kingdom. Knowing that Ahab was wicked, Jehoshaphat wanted first to inquire of the word of the Lord before giving his agreement to join Ahab. So Ahab brought in 400 prophets who with one voice prophesied, look at verse 6, go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. They prophesied in the name of the Lord. But somehow that didn't sit with Jehoshaphat. he asked, "Is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire?" It seems that Jehoshaphat knew that the 400 prophets were on Ahab's payroll. And the king of Israel, that is Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, verse 8, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." Jehoshaphat told Ahab that he shouldn't talk like that, and he asked that Micaiah be called in. And as Micaiah was being called in, the messenger sent to summon Micaiah told him, verse 13, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And when he had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead or shall we refrain? And he answered him, "Go up in triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his home in peace.'" The king is going to die in that battle. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, verse 18, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" And Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one said one thing and another another. And then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord saying, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said, 'By what means?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'You are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so.'" Verse 23. "Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you." Micaiah stood in the council of the Lord, in the court of heaven itself. And he heard the words which the Lord spoke in the courtroom of heaven. And he declared to Ahab what he had heard God say. That's a true prophet. He hears the very words God spoken in heaven and he makes them known. He neither adds to them or subtracts from them. He doesn't speak from his own mind or even his own heart. What he proclaims is the message God has spoken. That's the difference between a true prophet of the Lord and a false one. It doesn't matter how strongly the prophet feels about his message. Having strong feelings about a message doesn't mean it's a message from God. It doesn't matter that he uses the words, "Thus says the Lord." False prophets do that all the time. What matters is whether he really heard God say it, and having heard it, that he faithfully declares it just as he received it from God. Now, Jeremiah 23:11 mentions the priests along with the prophets. The priests were to teach the people from the law of the Lord, but they weren't doing it. And so they were condemned along with the prophets. Think about today. When you hear someone say, I have a message from God, how do you know whether their message is true or false? Well, if this passage teaches you anything, it's that their message must be what God has said. Did that person stand in the presence of God and hear His words? Or was it something which came from the imagination of his heart? The prophet Isaiah stood in the presence of the Lord. We read that in our call to worship today. He saw the Lord on the throne and the seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy." He had been in the council chamber of God. The apostle Paul had been caught up to the third heaven and heard some things that no man is permitted to speak and repeat. Same thing with the apostle John. Our Lord Jesus came down from heaven from the very presence of the Father, and what he said was always what the Father gave him to say. But when a well-meaning Christian brother or sister comes to you and says, I have a word from God for you, has she really been in the throne room of God? Or is it simply that he or she feels so strongly about something that they conclude that this is what God must have said? The prophets of Jerusalem in Jeremiah's time felt very strongly that God would never give Jerusalem into the hands of their enemies. They felt it with such intensity that they contradicted and spoke against Jeremiah, who had stood in God's presence and had heard his voice. Not all false prophets are charlatans or imposters who try to pull the wool over people's eyes. Many are very well-meaning in what they say. But still, what they say is false and a lie because God has not said it. Those of us who engage in the ministry of the Word are to declare the Word of the Lord. And if we exercise our prophetic role properly, then we will declare as the Word of the Lord only what God's revealed in His Word. We can explain it and apply it and even illustrate it. But we mustn't twist His words to suit our own purposes. What's happened in our day? Men who claim to be men of God, who are often authorized and ordained by denominational churches, they stand and speak exactly the opposite of what God says in His Word. How can it be that from the pulpits of churches claiming to be churches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can hear the Word of the Lord as the Word of the Lord, things being declared which go precisely opposite what God has revealed in Scripture? They not only refuse to denounce greed and materialism of our society, they're constantly telling us that sexual activity outside of marriage is perfectly appropriate and all right. Whether it be homosexual or heterosexual, it doesn't matter. You just gotta be yourself, they say. As long as you love the other person, everything is all right. Friends, the Bible's explicit on the matter. It paints the pictures in black and white terms. The Bible warns us not to be deceived about the judgment of God on greed or slander or sexual immorality. It's perfectly clear what the Scripture says. And yet, there are men and women going around speaking in the name of God as if these things do not matter, that no harm will come upon us, in defiant rebellion against what God says in His Word. But when God's message is truly declared as He's revealed it, His Word is like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces. It's like a fire which burns up everything that's impure and unholy. God's word from the mouth of a true prophet is like that. Why is it so important that someone who speaks for God declares exactly what God has said and not something else that may be on his or her mind? Well, it's easy. It's because only the word of the living God can help us. Verse 28, let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak it faithfully. What is straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces? The words of men are like straw. They don't nourish. Grain does that. God's word is like fire. It burns up what's unclean and unholy in our lives. Nothing purifies like fire. Before the year 1666 in England, the bubonic plague ravaged London. People died by the scores. But in 1666, the fire of London broke out. And after that, nobody died of the plague. You know why? Because the fire went down every rat hole and every sewer and purified the city. God's word is like that. It can purify your life, but it must be declared truly and understood and embraced by those who hear. Like a hammer. God's word breaks in pieces stony hearts hardened by sin. Nothing's more important than to have our stony hearts broken and laid bare by the word of God. We need to see our sinfulness and our misery if we're ever to come to God. We need to be humbled and to see the beauty of the Savior. We need to see what kind of lives God calls those who belong to Him to live. His word shows us that. But we must really hear God speaking when His word is declared. The word of man does us no saving good. Let me ask you this morning, what do you believe is the power of God to salvation? Is it the gospel, the word of the living God? Then be wary of the words of men. And if someone says to you, I have a word from the Lord for you, test it. Is it what God has really said? Does it agree with what God has actually said in the Bible, His holy and inspired word? Or is it something you simply want to hear, or something the other person simply feels very strongly about? Let me ask you another question, if I may. Where does faith come from? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. If faith is to be created in the hearts of those who hear, then the word of God must be declared and preached and received. And if you are a believer in Christ, you are a prophet. In this sense, every believer is to declare by word and by deed the truth as it is in Jesus. So you better know your Bible. If you truly believe the Bible is God's word, you won't go about saying things in the name of God that He hasn't said. And neither will you be quick to accept as the word of the Lord something that you simply can't verify as being from God and agreeing with His word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need the hammer that breaks rocks to pieces and the fire that sets hearts ablaze. And God has given it to us in His holy, inspired, and inerrant word. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, it is so easy to get carried away, as the prophets of Judah and Jerusalem were carried away with their own imaginations, with things that they hoped were true. Lord, save us, spare us from ever speaking as the word of the Lord things that are simply our own aspirations and desires of our hearts, our own imaginations. May we never do that. Lord, teach us to hold fast to Your Word, which we know, Lord, has been revealed and is a light in the dark place. It's the truth, the lamp that lightens the path for our feet. We know, Lord, that Your Word is true. Help us be wary, Lord, of the sayings of men which claim to come from You, which we can't verify actually have come from You. Lord, Your standard for being a prophet is very high. How many of those brothers and sisters who think they're speaking for You, Lord, have they really been in Your throne room? Have You really given them special revelation as the kind that You gave to Isaiah and Paul, and Your Son Jesus Christ? Lord, help us be wary of the words of men, but to struggle and strive, Lord, to know Your word and to declare it truly and to live it in our lives. Lord, Your word teaches us of Jesus, the Savior, and He's our only hope and help. We're utterly lost apart from His saving blood. May we always trust in Him, Lord. Hear our prayers. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.